If you're looking for drama, then Sheffield Wednesday is not for you. All they ever do is win. Another 3 points notched up on Saturday against weekly opponents Fleetwood, with Marvellous Marvin Johnson on the score sheet, and the gap between second and third grew wider. We're back to talk it all over. This is the Star Isles Monday review. So I've even scripted that and still managed to get it wrong.
You'll get that.
I'm just throwing bombs in my way. It's like I did that. There's no need for me to make things so difficult for myself.
Are you feeling more pressure on these intros as the weeks go on?
Well, especially given that I've been calling them by other names, which doesn't help. So I've been trying to be a little bit more professional about things, and quite obviously just not very good at it. Yes, I'm Chris Holt, and I'm here with Alex. I felt like I'm still in script form there. I'm Chris Holt, and I'm here with Alex Miller and Joe Cran to talk over another boring win for Sheffield Wednesday. It's just all getting a bit tedious now. What can you say? What we'll say is, I've seen the highlights. I saw various bits of the game.
How long were they?
That's the point I was going to make. It was far from pretty. And we've spoken about this at reasonable length over the past few weeks. We're not bothered about excitement, really, at this stage now, are we? We said before, we've spoken about how the quality of football hasn't always been brilliant under Dyer at various stages, but now the results take precedent, and that's all that matters, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, me and Alex have sort of had the same conversations when we sit next to each other in the box, just going in the box, not that fancy, in the press box, I mean, just kind of saying it's enough. And that's what they're doing now. Every game, it's either enough or more than enough. And that's all that you can really ask for.
It's 20 games unbeaten now. But I don't know whether it's probably our fault to a degree, but I don't know whether the magnitude of that is sort of spoken about enough. And like you say, Saturday for me, for whatever reason, I think the come down from Newcastle to Wickham away, which is obviously one of the, in many ways, probably the most difficult fixture of a League One season, and then to Fleetwood and home in a 1-0 win in which neither team really got out of second gear. But that was, yeah. I mean, there's no point dressing it up any other way. It was dull. It was a dull afternoon. But this team is just a machine. I've said that a couple of times on Twitter. They just keep churning it out, winning in different ways. It's like you're punching the numbers of the algorithm, right? How do we win this one? And they carry it out to a team. It's so impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I was talking again, we were talking after the game, and I think that one of the biggest compliments I can pay to this Wednesday side now is that I'm not worried about them anymore. You know, at 1-0 last season, we were all in the press box going, oh, don't write that last paragraph. Don't write that opening line, you know, because you always had that sort of sinking feeling that there was a chance he might throw it away, and they did. You know, a lot of games last season, they did throw it away, whether it was to draw or to lose. Whereas you go into the last 10 minutes of this game against Cheltenham and, yeah, Cam had to make a really good save, but you back him to do it and you back the defence to get the job done. You don't think they're going to concede from set pieces. I mean, there are a couple of articles that sort of over the weekend about some of the stats going around this team, and it's just some of the stats now are ridiculous.
Go ahead then.
Oh, I have, yeah. So I looked at it and, so a lot of talk last season about wanting to see improvement from this Wednesday side, you know, various areas of the pitch. So I looked and they've got more points, won more games, lost fewer games, scored more goals, conceded fewer goals, kept more clean sheets and got better goal difference than last season. They also were at a point when they conceded 19 goals from set pieces last year across the entire season, and they've conceded 3 this season. So all the areas of the game that Wednesday fans were criticising that rightly needed to be corrected. You know, how many times did we ask Darren after games last year, Alex, about When are you going to stop crosses from wide? When are you going to stop set piece goals? Now, now is the answer, because they don't do it anymore.
What has been? I'll pick up on that one individually, because we did speak a lot about that last year, about how I think it was more we played on it. Say play on it. There was such an emphasis on it because Darren was a big no nonsense centre half who, you know, just beat everything away that came in his path as a player. And so it became a little bit frustrating that his own team were so poor at dealing with that kind of thing. What has been the difference? Have they dealt with it at source? Or have they just been better at clearing their lines? What has been the difference there?
I think a bit of both. If you look at the heading stats, they win a lot of headers, and that's down to personnel. Whenever we ask this question or themes around it, that's what comes back. And you know, Darren isn't one to sort of shine a light on his own work, I think. But there's no doubt, you know, they went out and signed the best header of a ball in the league in Ben Hennigan. What has been impressive is that Ben Hennigan went, Michael Heck was stood up, and he was that. I keep using this term, aerial destroyer. Michael Heck did that, and then Mark McGuinness came in. And then all of a sudden, Dominic Iorfa has turned into this absolute monster header of a ball, you know. And it's really impressive that I think we said it a couple of pods ago that, you know, Wednesday teams have clamoured for excuses before, and they just absolutely will not do that. And that I think that central thing does come down to the personnel and just having serial winners and people that have been there and done it and won't take excuses. I think praise for Simon Ireland as well. He's probably one of the lesser spoken about members of staff, but he's taking the lead on set pieces, certainly offensively, and it sounds like he's doing a lot of work defensively as well. And that it's not just the defenders. I sort of had this conversation, I think I put it in the match ratings. It feels like Michael Smith, you know, for all his goals, he's the second biggest contributor of goal contributions. Michael Smith, it feels like he's in the side just as much to do that job as well, which isn't, again, that sounds like a criticism of a striker. But in modern football, that's just not the case. And having the option to have him and Pato in the same team, Greg is in the same team, when you're up against these teams, when crosses are going to come in. It all started in the summer, and it's got more and more impressive from there, I think.
I think there's also an element of, you know, with this side, just the way they've gone about the business has become so matter of fact now. They don't seem to be bothered how they win. You know, there's no emphasis on a way to get results. I was also looking at sort of the goals conceded and the goals scored, and they conceded 18, which is where they're at now, by mid-November last season, and it took them 31 games to score 47 goals. They've done that after 27 this time around. That it's just the way they've managed to improve in, I mean, I would say every department. Would you say, Alex? Do you think there's any element of the game that they're not as good at this season?
There would probably be an argument if you compared to the purple patch, probably the last third of the season, in terms of just being devastating going forward.
Yeah.
I think there's but at the same time, there have been fewer opportunities to do that because teams are probably more likely to sit in. Yeah, I was probably going into more games in the second half of last season thinking Wednesday might score four here.
Yeah. However, I think you could weigh that up. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate a wee bit here. Sometimes it's easier to be chasing something, and you can play like that whenever you are chasing. So that this time last year, I'm right in saying they were kind of hovering around fifth, sixth, seventh.
They were eighth, I think.
Yeah, so there was a carrot there that, you know, needed to be reached, where we have to get into this top six first of all, and then of course it went to, you know, we might be able to sneak into the top two. So sometimes it's a bit easier to kind of turn that on whenever you're actually really going for something. And in comparison this year, you know, they've almost solidified their position in the top two, certainly at this stage, it's a 7-point gap. And so trying to kind of keep everything tight and solid and uniform and do that, the same thing every week, be it whether that might be boring or not, is quite understandable, really, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I sort of look back and Nathaniel Mendes-Lang's been sort of derided as, you know, a poor signing, all the rest of it. But when he was good, he was very good. And I think he was a big part of that right-hand side. He certainly does the right wing-back job a lot different to someone like Jack Hunt or Liam Palmer. So, yeah, there's personnel differences as well. But, yeah, it makes absolute sense, that, Chris. I mean, you know, had Fleetwood equalised on Saturday with the gap and, as you say, being in the top two, it's probably not the the crisis that it would have been last season when Wednesday were trying to make up so much ground.
So I was going to say, did anybody stand out as being particularly good on Saturday? From what I could see, nobody was brilliant. Nobody was bad. It was just...
Back three were really good again. The back three were fantastic. They just seemed to... I mean, there was that one sort of lapse in concentration, wasn't there, for that save from Dawson late on. But other than that, I don't think that the three of them, I don't think they made maybe three mistakes between them over the entire game. But Akin Fumewa was tremendous once again. That me and Alex were sort of speaking throughout the game, and you do kind of get wary of saying anything publicly in case you're the reason that he makes an error and they concede. But it's just, he seems to have everything that you'd want a Darren Moore left-sided centre-back to have. He's got it. You know, his ability on the ball, his power, he's got, he reads the ball well. He's very, very composed in many situations. And I think the way that he's come in under the sort of spotlight that he's come in under is really, really impressive.
Jack Hunt has kind of sneaked his way back into the team a little bit of late. How important can he be for the team? For a start, I suppose it depends on what happens between now and Tuesday. It's window close on Tuesday.
Well, that soon, fantastic. Can't wait.
I will get back to that, but the opportunity has come about obviously because of Wednesday's kind of lacking numbers in the centre of defence, and Liam Palmer's had to slot back in there. But Hunt is a great player to be able to bring in, quite obviously, isn't he, really? Because he's got a lot of experience. He knows what he has to do to, you know, in these times of when you really need, especially with a lot of young players around the teams, kind of the young players are kind of scattered around the team a little bit. Hunt can play a really big part for the rest of the season, can't he?
I think so. It's experience. He's played, I think it's 8 or 9 full seasons in the Championship. You know, been part of teams that have, you know, come close to getting the Premier League and all the rest of it. So, yeah, he's a good age, good experience. And what's been impressive, I've got a theory, you know, the two games before Alex Martin went back to Forest, which would, Hunt came off the bench out of nowhere where no one was really expecting it. So I don't think it was a particular, probably surprise to him or to Darren, obviously, when Martin went back and all the rest of it. So that was quite cleverly done. And yeah, in the two games that he starts, it's just given everything that he does. He's good going forward. He's quite sensible on the ball. And vitally, where someone like Mighton or Malik Wilkes, he is a defender by trade. And so all that stuff about stopping crosses and all the rest of it, he's no doubt he's better equipped to deal with that. So, yeah, everything that we've just spoken about the fact, you know, how Wednesday are likely to play quite a lot of their matches between now and the end of the season. I think he ticked a lot of boxes and like you say, he could be a massive player for Wednesday.
We touched on it very slightly there. The transfer window closes on Tuesday. on Tuesday. We had a story up today, I think it was this morning, where Darren has admitted that he's kind of wincing a little bit whenever players go down injured. I have a theory that kind of talk doesn't happen when there isn't a transfer window open, because there's nothing you can do about it. If a player gets injured outside of the window, tough. I know there are a few injuries there, but if nobody else comes in now, that squad is still strong and still capable. Or do you think there definitely has to be an addition there?
We spoke about it a lot, haven't we, Alex? Centre back for us is almost a must. I think, look, if they didn't get one, do I think Wednesday still got enough? Probably, but that's reliant on nothing else going wrong. You know, the main problem they've got with a centre back is you're effectively asking a centre back to come as a stopgap. They'll be coming in waiting for Michael Aker to get back. You know, that's kind of where they're at. So it's one of the things with like Luke McNally that we've spoken about. You know, Burnley want him to be playing ideally Championship football. If not, they want him to be playing regularly. And Wednesday can't offer him that. Because, you know, as things stand now, would we get in over any of the back three playing now? No. If one of them gets injured, you're going to need him. But I think that's where the difficulty lies with Darren's situation, is he's looking to bring a centre-back in that can't be guaranteed game time, that may not get into the sort of starting 11 now, let alone when Michael Aker was back. So he's got to go out and find someone, which is why the Michael Hector thing kind of makes sense, because he's going to need some time to sort of get ready, but he'll probably be able to be thrown in if needs be, if something was to happen to somebody else. So I think that's one worth keeping an eye on. But yeah, I do think they need more just in terms of bodies, but that will become more evident. If Wednesday lose somebody tomorrow night against Cheltenham, then all of a sudden you're going, yeah, no, they definitely need somebody now.
Just in defence, do you think?
For me, yeah. Look, a nice little nippy striker from the Premier League would be all right. Be quite a nice little addition to have, but I don't think it's a must. I think they've got the players there. The only thing that I think that is a sort of necessity now is a centre-back. And I think other than that, Wednesday have got a good enough squad to keep pushing. And Darren's spoken a lot about versatility and wanting to work with a tight squad. And I think that a lot of the success they've had this season has sort of come down to that, and the ability to keep people happy. You know, you've seen Liam Palmer go from playing some of the best football of his career at right wing back to moving centre back, and Jack Hunt coming back in and being really, really tidy. If you've got an extra player there, you know, it's difficult to figure out who to play. Whereas at the moment, it kind of picks itself.
Alex, you particularly broke the story on Friday that Michael Hector, was it Friday or Thursday?
Friday morning.
That Michael Hector had been at the club and has been training. I personally have my reservations. I know that some Wednesday fans, perhaps clouded by his previous time at the club, think he walks on water. What are your thoughts?
Somewhere between the two. It's one that, I'll be honest, has made more sense as the days have gone on. And I'm not entirely qualified to discuss it because I didn't see Michael Hector. It was the season before I started on this gig, so I've not got the memories of his player of the season outing and all the rest of it. Yeah, obviously concerns there over game time, how it ended at Fulham, his performances towards the end of his time at Fulham. You know, he was a bit of a scapegoat down there, and I think he was it looked like he lost his confidence quite a bit from the very little that I did see of him. But at the same time, hugely experienced. And at League One level, you know, if he can recapture anything like, you know, the stories and the references that I've heard on him, then, yeah, too bad at all. I think it's a reflection of where Wednesday are in the transfer window as well, with potential targets not being available or not definitely being available. And I think Wednesday are probably covering themselves a little bit by getting him in and giving him some volume, as is the word that's always used. But yeah, I don't have as much, not that I ever had an issue with it, but I think I'm certainly coming around to the idea quite quickly.
Fair enough. You have to weigh all these things up. We obviously haven't seen what he's like in training. He could be absolutely super sharp. My own experience in seeing him at the tail end of last season, not that you can judge anybody by one match, but he looked quite off the pace then and obviously hasn't played since. So,
the other problem Wednesday have got in the transfer market is that they'll have one eye on the championship now, right or wrong, you know, it's something they've got to do. And they won't want to go out and get permanent signings now, because if they've got aspirations to get up, which they obviously do, there's players that will be available to them next season that aren't available to them now. And you don't want to bring players in on a permanent basis to get you out of League One that are good enough for League One and that you can get that maybe aren't good enough for the championship. So I think they've got to sit on the fence a little bit with the sort of players they're going for, because there'll be plenty of players out there that Wednesday as a championship club can get, but Wednesday as a League One club can't.
Do we have the latest on McNally? I noticed that Reece Williams was released by Blackpool. Released, sent back to Liverpool from Blackpool. And Blackpool were one of the clubs that were interested in him, weren't they?
Yeah. The thing with McNally is a tough one, because, I mean, the last story I wrote was that, you know, that they want him to play championship. That's their ideal scenario. They want him to be playing in the championship and playing regularly. Blackpool are going after Charlie Goodey, so that might sort of kill that one. And I think that there is an element of playing for a Darren Moore team is tempting, just because of what his track record at improving centre-backs. I think the lack of game time might be a real concern. You know, sort of like we spoke about earlier, the amount of good centre-backs available to Wednesday when everyone's fit, there'll be a concern about sending him here. My gut feel now is I don't think it's going to happen. I think that it's too much of a hard sell right now. But if we get closer, sort of further into the window, and Wednesday haven't found someone they want, and Burnley haven't found somewhere for him to go, maybe they'll sort of revisit it. But yeah, as things stand now, I can't see it happening, to be honest.
I'll just bring in this message from John Baker, who says, why not recall Brennan if possible? I think we covered this before, but I can't remember what the answer was. If somebody can...
Alex, you've done a few bits on this, haven't you?
Yeah, Wednesday seemed to have flip-flopped on it a little bit. Heading into January, it was very much the case that they wanted Brennan to stay on at Swindon and get a full season under his belt. Last time he was asked about it, Darren sort of backtracked on that a little bit and said, you know, he's our player. If the circumstances roll that way, then, you know, of course it's something we'd want to think about. I would be surprised if there wasn't, we obviously don't know the terms of any recall clause, whether it's the whole month. I'd be surprised if Swindon had agreed to one whereby, you know, it gives them a day or an hour to get a replacement. So it feels like that one might be close. It's probably one for one of us to dig it into in terms of the circumstance or what the agreement is. Again, look, if he can be recalled in the next few days and Wednesday aren't confident of bringing in one, perhaps two defenders, I'd go two defenders, me, personally. Then, yeah, it might be one that they look at. But certainly the next time we speak to Darren, we'll we'll get an answer on that. If not, earlier, if we can speak some people, get it sorted.
Just before we wrap things up, we'll move on very quickly. We're back in midweek action this week. And a nice trip away to Cheltenham, which is lovely.
We'll have a nice little road trip together.
Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah, I mean, all signs point to another win. Can't be certain, but they're on a pretty rubbish run, I think, at the minute. And it's just another 3 points, really, isn't it? It's hard to know what to say when we're just, you know, we're just going through week after week of like fairly slender, very professional wins, and then just moving on to the next one. It's very difficult to think that anything else is likely to happen.
Yeah, they've got goals, haven't they, Cheltenham? They score a lot. Well, not score a lot, but they score in a lot of games. They don't tend to not get goals. We saw them get two against Plymouth at home, which, again, not a lot of teams have done. So it won't be an easy game by any stretch. But yeah, I just got complete faith in this team to do what they need to do now. And that's, I don't remember the last time I said that about this football club.
I've got a feeling they might draw. And I don't know what's that based on. It's quite a tight pitch at Cheltenham, which has been mentioned. And I think this is where, I think the points about the Wednesday squad, obviously it's good enough. And obviously there are players on the bench that can come in and do just as good a job. It's these quick turnarounds where my concern is, in terms of, you know, if you wanted to change 3, 4, 5 players, it's not possible to do that in quite a few positions. Joe and I spoke in the press box about left wing back. If Marvin Johnson was to get an injury or a suspension, you know, you're looking at Jaden Brown to come in, perhaps, who obviously hasn't played barely any league football for Wednesday since his first month or so at the club. And, you know, there's just little areas like that I think need to be addressed and maybe haven't quite been spoken about. And it's these, like I say, these Saturday, Tuesdays where the frailties of the squad maybe are a little bit more apparent than when you're looking at a Saturday to Saturday.
I mean, it wouldn't be, it would be far from disastrous if they did drop points. At some point they're gonna drop points. At some point they're probably gonna lose.
I think it'd be very difficult
to go the entire season without losing. So it's just likely to happen. The law of averages.
Yeah, the disappointing thing with a draw here would be the fact that a win does take them top.
Yeah,
you know, like there's been a lot sort of said about Wednesday's inability to take the chances to do that. You know, we had the opportunity to do it at Derby, didn't take it. So to have that chance now and to actually grasp that opportunity, I think would feel like a big one for Wednesday fans, because it would feel like another hoodoo got rid of, I suppose.
I mean, it'd be nice going into the weekend with you know, just sitting top of the league, going relax in the FA Cup, and just having a look actually to see who else was likely to play on Saturday while Wednesday are in cup action. Neither Plymouth or Ipswich are playing.
I mean, Plymouth's next game is us, isn't it? On the 4th. Like, they've literally not got a game until then.
So there you go. There's a nice carrot for everybody, going top of the league, play Fleetwood for the 50th time this season. and there you have it. Shall we have a match prediction very quickly?
I'm gonna go 1-0 to Wednesday.
Is that 1-0 to the Wednesday? Is that what it is now? I'll go 1-1.
I'm gonna go 2-0 Wednesday.
So you're gonna say Cheltenham then?
just throw random, the
panic talk sport. Oh, these two have agreed on. All right, okay, yeah, I'll go. Yeah.
Just stare at the hornet's nest just for a laugh. That's us, right, bang on 30 minutes. That took, what more could you want from 30 minutes of sheer entertainment? We'll be back on Thursday to talk briefly over Cheltenham. We'll have a little bit of a revamp of the podcast, so you might get some new features on there. Don't know what they are yet, but it'll be good.
Say, are we going to get told about that as well?
I haven't decided what they are yet. But there'll be something new there, so you might as well come on. People might as well just come on to find out what they are and then can go, well, that was rubbish. So, yeah, we'll be back on Thursday to look back over the Cheltenham match and, again, look ahead to playing Fleetwood again. I'm really sick of seeing Scott Brown. I never particularly liked seeing him in the first place, and now he's just in here all the time. Anyway, yes, thanks, Alex, and thanks, Joe, and thanks, everybody, for watching and or listening. We'll be back again later in the week. See you then.